Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman, founder of the Dementia Whisperers Incorporated. Laura Wayman, nationally recognized expert on dementia and author of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, published by Johns Hopkins University Press, joins you and 16 million caregivers with real answers and help, with love, wisdom, and compassion for your personal questions and concerns on the dementia journey. Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Call in at 929-477-1393. That's 929-477-1393. And now, live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Are you caring for a loved one, a resident or client who is presenting dementia symptoms and challenging behaviors? Our vision is to open up discussion in order to greatly improve quality of care and excellence in service to individuals with Alzheimer's disease or any dementia and related illnesses, and to lend a reassuring hand to their caregivers and families. This is an interactive call-in show, and we want to hear from our listeners. In fact, our first two call-in listeners today will receive a copy of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, Making Meaningful Connections with a Person Who Has Alzheimer's Disease or Other Dementia or Memory Loss, published by Johns Hopkins University, and of course authored by Laura Wayman, the Dementia Whisperer. And now it is time for Laura Wayman, the Dementia Whisperer. Laura, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scott. It's so always so much a pleasure to be online with you and to be out there in the wonderful radio world. I always want to thank you for a wonderful introduction, and I always like to give you just a minute to talk about you. Like I said, I'm so honored because you are such a radio professional and you help this show just be exactly what I need it to be. We work so well together. So tell our listening audience, where are you coming from in this whole world of radio?
Well, as you well know, Laura, I've been well over 40 years now involved in media of all kinds, particularly radio, and most of it focused on health, well-being, positive lifestyle. When you think about it, really, the progression of my own life, now I'm being 65, it would be only natural that I would start to take a look at and focus on issues as we become those the graying of baby boomers America. And coincidentally or synchronistically enough, life brought me to that, so I've worked with you. Very honored to work with you, creating media for you and, of course, on the radio show. And in other aspects of care for elders, whether that's assisted living, dementia care, right now working with my lovely wife, Faye, working with Clear Captions to help bring quality listening to those who have challenges in hearing, and as a AD, Americans with Disability Act Title IV program, and more. And right now, just actually today, being presented with an opportunity that can probably move that all forward using some of the videos I've produced in the past called Love Cafe on different issues and things I feel passionately about, including you, Laura, and packaging up some of those for some new TV channels going out. So we'll see where that leads. But that's very exciting news for us and for this continuing message of dementia. But thank you for letting me share that.
And I am always happy to share our forward progress as we try to reach those caregivers who desperately need this information and all the different resources that we can provide when we are on the air and talking about all that's going on in the world of dementia. And we want to welcome everyone today to our new segment of the show. We are really wanting to find different ways to get information out there. So Scott and I are adding a current event, views and opinions, and up-to-the-date news to bring you even more information about what is going on in this whole world of dementia, which is so vast and so overwhelming to so many people. You know, I want to invite our listeners to email us topics, articles, news releases of interest to them so that we can share every month throughout our show, news and views from the world of dementia. And my email that you can access me directly is help, H-E-L-P, at laurawayman.com, and that's LauraWayman.com, help at laurawayman.com. And just send me the information. I answer every one of my emails. I get hundreds a day, and I answer these personally. And so you're going to get a very personal answer if you take the time to email me with questions or topics or anything you want us to research on this show. And even if you have, in your dementia care journey, you have questions, I will take the time to answer you. And I want you to know, please reach out to me. And as with every show, you're invited to call in and talk with us about your dementia care journey here live. You can stay anonymous. You don't have to give your name, but we are that soft place for you to land emotionally. So call us and let us hear your voice and your feelings about your dementia care journey, about this news segment, about the topics that we bring you every month. Or, like I said, let us know if there's something else you would really like us to discuss. It's real easy to call us. It is just picking up the phone, and the number is 1-929-477-1393. So, Scott, what information do you have that you're bringing us today in our news and views from the world of dementia?
Well, Laura, some interesting stories that shed light on the diversity of both the dementia and Alzheimer's experience and new pathways to understanding and perhaps some breakthroughs in possible pathways down the road for more healing and maybe even rolling back a little of some of those conditions and allowing patients to live a more clear, more connected life longer, which is something we could all use. Surprising way your dreams could estimate your risk of dementia. This story comes out of the Huffington Post, United Kingdom, by Rachel Moss. If you dream a lot when you sleep, you may be less likely to develop dementia. A new research is just suggesting. A study by Swinburne researcher has found that dementia in the elderly can be predicted by measuring rapid eye movement, or REM sleep. REM sleep is the stage of sleep that we pass through before dreaming occurs. The study found that for every 1% reduction in the time a person spends in REM sleep, there was a 9-fold increase in the risk of them developing dementia. Of course, the author is Dr. Matthew Passe. They said the findings point to REM sleep being a predictor of dementia. During the REM stage of sleep, the eyes move more rapidly. There's increased brain activity, along with quicker pulse and faster breathing. This stage usually occurs about an hour to an hour and a half into sleep, and then reoccurs during the night as the cycles repeat on and on, the researchers said. For the study, researchers looked at 321 people with an average age of 67 who participated in a U.S.-based Framingham Heart study. During the study, their sleep cycles were measured. Researchers then followed the participants for an average of 12 years. During that time, 32 people were diagnosed with some form of dementia, and of those, 24 were determined to have Alzheimer's disease. Those who developed dementia spent an average of 17% of their sleep time in REM, compared to 20% for those who did not develop dementia. After adjusting for age and sex, researchers found that a lower percentage of REM sleep and a longer time to get to the REM sleep stage were both linked to a greater risk of dementia. The results were similar after researchers adjusted for other factors that could affect dementia risk or sleep, such as heart disease factors, depression symptoms, and medication use as well. Other stages of sleep were not associated with an increased dementia risk. REM sleep is the fifth sleep stage and happens before dreaming occurs, as we mentioned. And the study was supported by the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, the National Institute on Aging, and the National Institute for Neurological Disorders and Stroke. The full paper is due to be published in the latest issue of Neurology. So some interesting information there on REM sleep and perhaps as a prohibitive to developing dementia at quite a rapid pace. A new Alzheimer's Association survey reveals dramatic impact of Alzheimer's disease on families. This is from Mike Lynch with the Alzheimer's Association. Almost all agree caregiving should be a group effort, not yet 2 in 3 caregivers do feel alone. American families are unprepared to face the looming Alzheimer's caregiving financial crisis. That's probably pretty easy to figure out there. A lack of appreciation and support stress family relations, especially among siblings. New findings from an Alzheimer's Association survey were released in conjunction with the beginning of Alzheimer's and Brain Awareness Month, show that while people overwhelmingly agree it often takes a village to provide care for someone living with Alzheimer's or another form of dementia, 91%, far too many caregivers are doing it alone. The survey found 2 out of 3 caregivers, 64%, felt isolated or alone in their situation, and more than 4 in 5 caregivers, 84%, would have liked more support with caregiving tasks, particularly from their family. The survey revealed the number one reason people said they did not help with providing care for someone with Alzheimer's or another form of dementia was they felt as though another family member had already taken on the responsibility. 74% said that, followed by their not living in the same area, which, of course, could be a challenge. That's 62%. There are currently 15 million Americans providing unpaid care for someone with Alzheimer's or dementia. The survey shows that we must alleviate the weight on the shoulders of these individuals, said Ruth Drew, Director of Family and Information Services for the Alzheimer's Association. But it's a problem that's not only going to get worse. As life expectancies get longer and the number of older Americans grows rapidly, so too will the number of individuals diagnosed with Alzheimer's and family members affected. In fact, barring the development of a medical breakthrough, the number of Americans age 65 and older with Alzheimer's is expected to nearly triple by 2050, from 5.5 million to a projected 16 million. Today, someone in the United States develops Alzheimer's every 66 seconds. By 2050, that will become every 33 seconds. Alarmingly, our research also shows that few people are planning for the devastating toll this disease may have on them and their families, Drew continued. The burden of Alzheimer's on society is becoming crushing, and most families are unprepared. Few plan for caregiving costs and decisions. That's probably the biggest challenge. The survey found that people greatly fear becoming a burden to their families as they age, but they are not planning accordingly. For example, 70% of people fear being unable to care for themselves or to support themselves financially, but only 24% have planned financially for their families in preparation of any future caregiving needs. Also, 74% of people said they would prefer a paid caregiver, but only 15% have financially planned for one. An important consideration since Alzheimer's is one of the most costliest diseases affecting seniors. She continued, very few people are financially prepared for the cost of caring for someone with Alzheimer's, which is made worse by the fact that most Americans lack adequate savings for retirement and many have none. Beth Kyle Meyer, Vice President of the Constituent Services for the Alzheimer's Association, added, the added burden of Alzheimer's care on families that have neither planned for nor saved for basic retirement needs is going to directly impact them and the public health care system. And with a large segment of the American population reaching high-risk years for Alzheimer's, we're entering a crisis. And finally, the following story is from issue 19 of a magazine called Blizzard. It's a quarterly football journal available from the blizzard.co.uk. That's www, of course. The blizzard.co.uk on a pay-as-you-like basis in print and digital formats. Of course, that's the reason for that. We've got the good old American pastime invented in America. The baseball playoffs for the championships of the American and National League are starting this very night. So I'll just add, go Astros. Of course, football, as this is called, is what soccer is called in the rest of the world outside the U.S. And I was just wondering about sports and Alzheimer's and dementia and participation in sports and mainly participating in visually and watching and reading about those sports that we loved all through our lives. Did it have an effect? Well, I found this great story. More than four decades from a famous football goal, a lifelong Barca, which is a football team, a Barca football team fan, is one of a group of patients with Alzheimer's disease who are flicking through the pages of a specially produced edition of a Spanish football magazine. It's called Librero. The patients are being helped by a project called Football versus Alzheimer, organized by the Madrid-based Libero and the Universidad Autónoma de Barcelona. Sorry about that. The idea for the project came from a 2014 study produced at the university's Foundation for Health and Aging. The research found that talking about football helped stimulate the memory, attention, and mood of people with Alzheimer's and other forms of cognitive deterioration. Libero talked with the study's authors, and together they decided to create special editions of the magazine that can be used as a tool to help during therapy sessions. Four specially produced editions have featured stars of various teams. Each issue includes short articles featuring key games and big personalities from across the decades, alongside exercises to help stimulate a patient's memory. There's one magazine for each age group of the patients, the Libero editor Diego Barcala told The Blizzard. One magazine was contents from the 1940s, another 1950s, the 60s, and 70s. They don't have long stories or anything. It's really just a magazine to read, or a retro magazine. The contents have medical utility. We work with the doctors on exercises they use for memory, where the patient must repeat a sequence. Instead of the usual objects, there are footballers. We adapt football content to Alzheimer's exercises so they're useful for the patients. What a great idea. One page in the 1970s magazine shows the faces of six former players and patients who are asked which of the men never played for Barcelona. Well, during the therapy session, a different man spots the former Real Madrid, which is a big team there, Real Madrid midfielder Vincent del Bosque, in the bottom row of the photo. It's this one. It is Del Bosque, he says, evidently proud of working it out and not being outfoxed by how the Spanish coach was being photoshopped into a different team's jersey. Alzheimer's erases memory, said one principal researcher, in a moving video showcasing the project, which was produced by Libero and the Madrid-based advertising agency Lola. It does not erase the passion for football, nor the emotions, and this is what we want to recover using this therapy. How football is helping unlock dementia patients' memories, things got out of their heads, said a female patient in the video, but if we see them, we remember. Barcala, one of the producers, stated, stressing the project was not going to cure or provide any long-lasting relief for patients who are suffering from Alzheimer's or other forms of cognitive deterioration. Football is not going to help them get their memory back. What they can recover are their emotions. The Football versus Alzheimer project has not received any public funding or corporate sponsorship, and Libero is not a business with the resources to fund a big print run or PR splash. However, anyone anywhere in the world can go online, make a small donation, and if they wish, they can nominate the medical center where they would like the special magazines to be sent. And many people have asked where they can buy these magazines, Barcala said, but this is not a business move by us. We do not want to sell them for cash. This is why we ask for only a very small donation for each magazine, just a few cents. We believe that covers the printing and delivery costs of our four magazines so they can go to any clinic anywhere. What great work. Well, that's it in our news this week and this month. And Laura, back to you.
Well, all three of those articles were just touching on what I teach these caregivers to understand, because the emotions and the feelings don't go away, do they, Scott? And so we constantly are looking for ways to spark those feelings that are left. And what a great way to have an activity such as this magazine to get into that world of dementia with each of these different folks that are suffering from different symptoms of dementia, because we always say if you've met one person with dementia, you've only met one person, and it is up to us to customize our care approach. And what a great way to customize that. And I like talking about the dreams, because I dream a lot, so that makes me feel very secure that perhaps because I do go into deep REM sleep quickly and dream a lot, maybe that will be a precursor to telling me that I'm not going to have dementia, which we all fear, especially since I have it in my family line. So that was really, really interesting. And then, of course, the article about how it is so challenging for for the caregivers of those with Alzheimer's or any cause of dementia to find the help they need as much as we encourage them to try and do that. So I do want to say that I do have so many resources, and we're going to bring our guest on, who is a great resource for helping that caregiver with some needs about some care and how to access that. But the Dementia Whisperer has family consultations and care management services and trainings and on-site consults with professional dementia care providers, tips on local and long-distance caregiving and how we do that, because we were just talking about the challenge of long-distance caregiving. And, you know, I just want to throw in here real quick, just release my new DVD, The Encyclopedia of Dementia Care for the Family Caregiver, and also The Encyclopedia of Dementia Care for the Professional Caregiver. We'll be talking more about that. All of this is available on my website, which is laurawayman.com. So let's move on to today's guest. And if you could bring him in, Scott, with your wonderful introduction, and let's talk with him about some of this news and views as well.
All right. Well, today our guest, Laura, is Alden Turold. Yeah, I hope I said that right. Alden, the operations manager with Accent Care. And Alden, good afternoon to you, and it's great to have you with us today.
Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon, Laura.
Hi. Before we get into your details, I know you were on the line listening to Scott and I, so I'd like to give you a chance to weigh in on that interesting news and views. What did you think about all of that today?
Sure. I mean, I haven't really had no idea how much sleep would tell about the possibility of dementia or even Alzheimer's and how that would play in the REM cycle. So, I mean, like you, I think at least I'm a good dreamer. I don't remember a lot of them, but I certainly do feel like I have a fair amount. And so that's a positive thing right now. And it's pretty good to look forward, and definitely something I'm going to take home and pat myself on the back and have an adult conversation at the table for once around my kids and be able to talk to my wife about it with that. But then also really what kind of got me was, you know, the 75%, you know, they think they're going to need a caregiver. They want a caregiver, but really only 24% of Americans plan to have one financially. And so that's a huge amount of people who, you know, they know what they need, but they just don't pull the trigger to get to where they need to go to make sure they have what they need to have in place when they get older. So it's very concerning, just because of a lot of what is out there in the caregiving world. It's all going to require money to pay for the services. So it's, you know, it's a little hardship for some people, I understand, to financially afford it, but man, I wish people would have the resources more, or find a way to get them more, or even just take that step into saving when they're younger, just because you will need some care one day. And if you certainly don't, and then hopefully whatever it is that you've saved up can pass on to your loved one or your family, so it's not just gone and forgotten. But just being able to plan and think ahead with that. And you know, we're not all, you know, immortal. We're definitely destructible, and especially as you get a little older, we get a little, you know, a little more frail as we go. So it'd be nice to have a little more attention on that. It's just sad to see that we don't. And the sports thing, I love that. I love sports. So anything, you catch my attention anytime I hear the word sports. So that definitely jumped to me. And what a cool idea for the magazine, just to really kind of get back in people's timelines something to draw from, some awesome memories that they
had.
So that was really, really cool and impactful.
And I really appreciate that viewpoint, Alden, because this is just really going to lead into us talking about your organization and let folks know that you're a young man and you are really interested in talking about how can we set up the whole of society to understand how they need to have a plan for their aging, they need to plan financially for their aging, and how did you come into this and know so much as a young man? So first of all, let's start with, tell us about your organization, Accent Care.
So Accent Care, we are, we're a corporate-based company. However, we have individual offices throughout the country. And just speaking for mine in particular, because that's really what I feel most comfortable with doing and addressing, is we operate it like we are a mom-pop or a small-run, business. Everything is important. There isn't anything too big or anything too small for us. We want to make sure we can really meet people's needs the best as possible, really tailor our approach to people as sort of a one-size-fits-all, set it and forget it and go, and good luck to you. You know, we really want to make sure this particular transition that people have from independent to now I need some help with certain things, I don't need all things. And then you have people who need the 24-hour because, of something, whatever it is that may be going on. So our company really can kind of tailor and really fit really any situation that someone is going through. We have a care provider who is experienced and trained to, really work with and be the right fit for those individuals to make life and respite at home for someone who doesn't get paid for this job. And I think before it was 15 million people were unpaid caregivers for those with dementia. Let us come in, and that's what we do. We come in and we really give you that time to have a little sense of normalcy again, to have a little time out of the house where, your loved one is going to be taken care of and just as you would, because, we do a lot of the training. A lot of training comes from the family. And, honestly, Laura, you're fantastic to work with. The care partners that have had the opportunity to work with you and be there as that respite provider for a person with dementia has only made such a positive difference for our clients and just really for the communities that we're in and we're around. It's very noticeable the impact that your teachings have on our care providers that have already had impact positively with our clients. So that's kind of a little bit about Accent Care and up here in the Sacramento area. That's just really the approach we take with it. We service just a very large area. We're definitely, if we couldn't service somebody or have, the appropriate amount of help, we're not just going to take it on. We're going to make sure we can do it right the first time, or we will find another company who possibly be a good fit for it, who can do it right then, so they're not picking up pieces or scrambling.
And I certainly appreciate the fact that we are having this opportunity to learn together. And what I really specialize in, of course, is dementia care and providing that customized, individualized approach to really take each one of these clients as our only one in the moment. And that has helped me so much working with you because you have that same approach. And I want to give a little shout out to Accent Care here in Northern California, your office, because we've had some challenges, even above and beyond the challenges we have every day with providing good dementia care to these caregivers in their home. But we've had these challenges with the wildfires, and you all have stepped up with many other organizations to bring the seniors that were being affected, either in their home or in their home in an assisted living or memory care, and you've really reached out and helped bring them to safety, haven't you, Alden?
Well, I'm not one to toot my own horn or any of that, so I appreciate that from you. It's just been a real pleasure and really rewarding opportunity, in really the light of the devastation that has happened, to really be there and be a resource for the communities who have taken people on, and they literally, I mean, they have no resources. So many people came in straight off of the bus that they loaded them on in Santa Rosa just in the nick of time as there were fires just were taking over their building. They literally came in with just a shirt on their back or no shoes on their feet. Maybe they didn't even have their teeth. So many people didn't have their teeth, Laura. It was crazy to hear just how soon they and how fast they got them out. And then, you know, the fire kind of took over, and luckily everybody got out safely with that. But it was really just such an awesome experience to be able to put out, you know, feelers with friends and family. Hey, this is what's going on. You know, help us support these individuals who are displaced, and not to replace anything that they have, but really just consider it a gift from people in the community that, you know, you are loved and you are supported, and by no means is, you know, again, not replace anything that you've lost, but just use it for the time being that you need it. And really the communities have taken that on, and they've really received these gifts from everybody. Such a positive, overwhelming support that, I mean, I think they have enough for five times the amount of people they have now that they've taken in. Just the generosity of the community, and Accent Care was very, very much fortunate to be a part of that in our office, be able to give our thanks and our supplies forward.
Well, our community thanks you from the bottom of our heart for all of that effort, and you know, we want to thank on the air everyone who is participating in this. We're going to take a short little break because we're already halfway through our hour. It just flies by. And then we're going to come back and talk to you a little bit more, Alden, about Accent Care and about yourself in this career. And so we'll be back here in just a few minutes. Scott's going to take us out for our break.
All right, we'll be back with more live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman, here on Blog Talk Radio. This is a co-host, Scott Cluthie, inviting you to give us a call at 929-477-1393. That's 929-477-1393. And with a question or comment about anything we're discussing, or your questions or concerns about dementia or Alzheimer's-related disease or situations as well. And that can cover everything in the spectrum, because we do know it's like a giant blanket that covers every aspect of your life. So stay with us, give us a call, and we'll look forward to connecting with you in just about 2 minutes. Stay with us. You're listening to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Call in with your personal questions and concerns on the dementia journey. Call 929-477-1393 and visit Laura Wayman online at laurawayman.com. We'll be right back.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much, for taking me out to the park, for reading me books, for taking
me to the doctor when I broke my foot in ballet rehearsal,
for leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom, for having the chance to take you to the park, for reading you those books we enjoy so much, for being able to take you to your therapies after you twisted your ankle, for understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. And in your new role, we help you help. Visit aarp.org/caregiving to get practical health and wellness tips to provide even better care for your loved one. Remember, visit aarp.org/caregiving. AARP, we help you help. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The odds of becoming a signed artist and having 4 number one albums, 1 in 100 million. The odds of going on to win 7 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of this performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 68. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Autism Speaks, it's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. We'd love to hear from our listeners. Call in at 929-477-1393 1393 and visit Laura Wayman online at laurawayman.com. And now, Laura Wayman, the Dementia Whisperer. Welcome back live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman, co-host Scott Cluthie, and our wonderful guest Alden today. And Laura, back to you.
Well, thank you, Scott, and thank you for being here with us, Alden. We were during the break, we were just talking about what a pleasure it is to have you on our show. And I also want to do just a real quick shout-out before I bring you back in, Alden. I want to talk about how my aunt has terminal brain cancer, and she's here close by me, and I really felt like Alden was the person to go to when I recognized that she needed some in-home care. And so I brought Alden and his organization into the home of my aunt, and they are doing such a wonderful job. I have to give them just 5 stars. Alden was quick with his team to find some folks that could come really help her and provide her with the care as we walk her towards her passing. And she is just very pleased, and as well as all of our family, with the quality of care that you are giving her. And so thank you for that. I wanted to thank you and give a shout out on the air. So thank you, Alden.
No, I appreciate the kind words. And it's been such a pleasure to be a part and woven into the fabric of your family with that. And I know that our care partners, when talking to them, because it's important to me that I check in on each of our clients, especially the ones that I go out and meet myself personally to welcome onto service. They're now attached to me emotionally, and so it's a big deal that everything is going how it should go. And regardless of, you know, where it came from and who's involved, I think everyone is equally as important when it comes to the care that we provide. And so we provide favoritism on that or any aspects, but it's everyone deserves the best as possible as we can give them. So your aunt is very much of a pleasure. Her sons were a joy, really, to be around, and very, very good people. And we're really pleased to and happy to have that kind of responsibility.
Well, thank you, Alden. And I have to say that the Waymans are a wonderful family. I'm so honored to be a part of them, because each and every one is just like you're describing. So, Alden, how did you find yourself in this career? You are a wonderful young man, and so tell me, do you have a personal story to share with us about what brought you to Accent Care and the whole care arena for seniors?
We might need more than 23 minutes here. This is a long one, but I'll try to give the Cliff Notes version. So when I was 10, I wanted to get involved in law enforcement. You know, it's completely separate than, you know, obviously the career path that I'm in now. But, you know, I opened those doors and I went through them, and I was a trained officer with California and with actually a local department here in Sacramento. But one thing led to another, just no positions available for me. And so it was really the time of kind of the downturn, 2010, where they were just laying everybody off and just wasn't going to happen for me at the time. And, you know, the Lord knows what the Lord knows, and he closes doors when the doors close. You move on, and he opens one other one for you to walk through. And so I found myself fortunate to walk through a door where I was caring for pediatrics, you know, supplying, helping with nurses in home for in-home care. And so that was kind of how I got my start in the home health world or in-home care world as we go. But my whole thing for wanting to be an officer was to help those who couldn't help themselves. And so I found that same voice can really speak in the environment that I'm in now, because sometimes our seniors, they can't help themselves. And so I want to be there genuinely and compassionately to help them help themselves. And so that's where, you know, I find myself involved with Accent Care now for just about almost a year, managing the operations and really driving that core value and approach every day into my staff. Let's be compassionate. Let's understand. Let's walk a mile in their shoe to really understand why they need the help, and let's get them back and have some of that sense back to them. But really, I want to help people. and this is the platform that the Lord gave me to do it in, and so I'm going to try to do it the best that I can do it.
And I can see that you are presenting that with every single step that you are taking. So I am so pleased to have the opportunity once again to work with you. So what would you say are your biggest challenges in your industry?
I see the biggest challenge in the industry is really to find that the right caregiver is what it is. Because so many people, so many people can do the job, you know, but it's a what kind of quality can they do the job at? How are they in it for the paycheck, and which isn't much of one? Are they in it for the compassion side of it? Because there's a ton of that. You know, it's finding the right people to put your name on, put your faith in, to go out there and ensure, you know, they are going to be there. They are going to support that family. They are going to show up because, hey, that person counts on you to be there when you say you're going to be there and to do the job and perform it as it's supposed to be done. They're counting on that. It's not just I'm showing up and going to hang out. No, there's work to do. They need your help. It's finding people who have that same drive and thought process and work ethic and value and morals and character. It's all of it. That sometimes can be a struggle. So, you know, if it's a coaching aspect, we can absolutely coach somebody up. But there's a hard line sometimes where you just got to get the, you can't hire everybody, you know, and that's where I think a lot of companies find themselves in trouble is they just hire people and they're not in the right fit. And unfortunately, it's, you know, that's not fair to their client and their customer.
Absolutely. And in this whole industry, especially with dementia care, one of the challenges that I'm faced with constantly is that we need to get them the proper training. And in so many instances, these folks, we're throwing them out on a dementia care community floor with 15 or 20 residents that they're supposed to be caring for without the proper training, which is so frustrating. And then we're facing in this industry that whole difficult retention problem. And I see that as the biggest challenge that you're going to have, too, once you hire that right person, it's getting them the right training. And then we have to customize, back up and customize each and every training. So it's taking the time to do that. But it's so necessary. And it's also one of the biggest challenges is getting the word out that we're here, that we are properly training those caregivers, no matter what venue we're talking about. And that it's okay, we give that caregiver the permission to actually ask for this help, and then, of course, finding the financial means so that they can access the help that they want. So this is really so overwhelming. So, you know, those...
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, too, Laura. I'm glad you brought that up as far as the, you know, getting that education piece out. Those who have gone through and worked with you directly... we do go into senior communities. We are on the floor with 15 people, but the people who really shine the brightest out of those individuals who are there are really the ones who've had the chance to learn some of your teachings, where they can apply that to not just their person that they're working with, but they can apply it to really any of the residents they'd run into on kind of how to work with somebody, because you met one dementia person, you really met one, as you say. And so they can really tailor that to each person that they come into contact with to just better themselves. And I know that each person who's worked with you directly has had flying reviews and great, great feedback that we've received over those who maybe haven't worked with you. Still good feedback, but just not as good. You know, and then it comes into the cost of things of where, you know, we're not out to make, you know, we are a for-profit, yes, but we're not out just to gouge, not at all. And I don't run the office that way. I keep our margins as low as possible because care is expensive. And I don't feel that it's warranted to come out and charge some of the prices some companies charge. I mean, that's their own business, but care is expensive, and I'm interested in keeping it affordable as possible for the time that we're in right now. So that's a big deal for me.
Yeah, we really have to think about that too, because I'm right there with you. I have to, of course, we have to make a living. We have to help these caregivers make a living, but We also are serving the generation that has allowed us to be where we are right now. And so we have to honor that. And I have to tell you, I'm a little bit concerned because I just got a text from one of the challenges that you and I are working on at one of the assisted living, because we do get challenges moment to moment, and we've got a big challenge right now. And as soon as we're done here, I'm going to have to jump on the phone, because these dementia challenges come up, and we are here to help even in memory care communities. They need our support as well, and we go in and we provide support when there's different kinds of behavior challenges, and it just, dementia is 24 hours a day. It never stops. So tell me, Alden, what would you say is your biggest success that you'd like to talk about over this last year?
I think the big success is on really kind of how we've approached care. I really believe that was something of where, when I came in here, it was to give me a chance to really assess where this company was at, how they were performing, and although it wasn't a bad thing, there was a lot of areas for improvement, and really focusing on delivering a quality care and following up. Care management was something that really needed to be in place to make sure that, hey, we are doing what we say we're going to do. We're getting our caregivers the proper training and the proper outlet to reach out for it. So that was something that had to be kind of really reviewed, process analysis, and just kind of find out where we were falling short. And so I think I'm proud to say that we have kind of filled those gaps. Our care being provided is current, up to date. We are constantly in communication with our families to making sure that if there's any changes in condition, things like that, that we know about it, and that we can get the proper resources to our care providers to make them better fit for their clients each and every day they go to work, set them up for success. And so that was, absolutely been a real positive takeaway and a big undertaking, just to get that done.
And it's certainly moment to moment, and we learn. So, we also, this is one of my challenges, is that just when I think I've got it figured out, when it comes to dementia, they'll have another serious loss of normal brain function, and we will have a brand new challenge. And that truly is it, and it is 24 hours a day, and I respect that. Family caregivers need to reach out to us at any time. And I know that at Accent Care, there is availability 24 hours a day if these family members need help, right?
No, that's a wow. It's like you planned that segue. That was great. No, we absolutely are. We're 24 hours a day. I mean, we're in the office for, 60 hours a week as it is. But after hours, there's a way to get a hold of us. And, and let me know if I can shamelessly plug it. There's a way to get a hold of us. If care and families, they find themselves, they don't know where to go from there, or they finally realize, hey, we need to get some help, or I need a break, or, what's that next step? We do. Our part of our care mission is that we partner with resources in the community to ensure that we can deliver the best possible care. And so, i.e. Laura Wayman and Accent Care, are now partners. We work together to deliver the best quality care. And, if that's at 2 o'clock in the morning, we have people who are ready to step up, make calls, get the right people out for you.
That's so great to hear. And it happens often. We want our listeners, especially if you are caring for someone with dementia, we want you to know that we are here for you at all times. And so if I can't help you, then I have all these resources like Accent Care and like many of the other communities that I'm working with that provide memory care, or any other, maybe it's not an emergency need. Maybe it is something that perhaps some transportation, or if you just have some questions about how you can better communicate with your loved one with dementia. Those are all things that I can help with, and I have the tools that we were talking about earlier. We have my book, A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, published by Johns Hopkins University Press. It is in its second edition. This is considered a 36-hour day book. So if you're familiar as a caregiver with the 36-hour day book, that my book is in that category. It is a companion piece for that. And so you can email me, you can visit my website, and then I also have my videos that we'll be talking more about that are called the Encyclopedia of Dementia Care. So we'll be talking about those with for family caregivers and for professional caregivers. So
Laura, we have included the professional version of your DVD. That is part of our onboarding process in our orientation. So people are now exposed to that, who are coming through, who are new with accident care. So they have that little tool in their pocket to utilize. So thank you for that.
You are so welcome. I so appreciate that.
Laura?
Yes.
You know, I wanted to not let this program slip by. If you could take a few minutes to address something I thought was very important, because we've seen the fires on the West Coast. I'm here in Houston, where we had the largest downpour of water in the history of the United States of America. We've seen Florida, Puerto Rico, and the devastation of earthquakes in Mexico. I'm just wondering if you have maybe a top five list of thoughts about preparation before, preparation for caregivers, families of loved ones, and so on, before ecological disaster strikes in one form or another, things to think and consider for those situations. So that sort of the, you know, forearmed is forewarned. You know, forewarned is forearmed, and the Red Cross dementia care kit, if you will.
You know, we talked about this. Funny you should mention that, Scott. That was what our last show was all about. And we did such a great show. I want to encourage people to go onto Blog Talk Radio, look up Live with the Dementia Whisperer, and go back to our episode, because that wasn't that timely, Scott? I mean, we talked about...
Yes, it was, and now we have it even more since then. So.
Yes, and so I really would encourage caregivers or anyone across the United States, go on and download our last episode as well. And I'm sure that you will want to download this episode, because it's such a great topic about this impact of dementia care on the family caregiver, and how we are working so hard together as a team to get them the resources that they want. But we had such a great show last time. It was Scott and I talking about what do you need to do to prepare for a emergency like this. And, you know, we were just talking with Alden, our guest, about some of the kinds of things that he and Accent Care and many other people in the community have stepped up to provide, and how we all need to prepare, not just for dementia care in our future, but to help our seniors who might be faced with some kind of emergency like this. So I'm so glad you brought that up, Scott, because that's exactly the kind of things that we want to talk about on this show, to get the information that is so necessary about all these different topics that are related to dementia care. So that was a great segue, as always. He's such a professional to bring that back in. So I want to talk about, I want to ask Alden, and you too, Scott, because this is something that we talk about often. I want to say, if there was a perfect world, what direction would you want to go in? If you could do anything with dementia care, with in-home care like Accent provides, with in-home health care that Accent also provides, how would you change the way that you are approaching the whole care world? What would you do?
In a perfect world, how would I approach care and change it for what we're doing now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a perfect world, I just wouldn't have dementia or Alzheimer's. So I'm going to go with that for my vote. But given how that right now isn't a possibility, just having the resources just already out there, or a way to have people just prepared ahead of time with just some knowledge, even if it's in school teaching, health and science class in school. Like, hey, I don't remember learning anything about that, And if the caregivers of tomorrow are going to be the students, of yesterday, we need to educate them. Let them know this is what's out there in the world, and in your career that you're going to be taking on. Like, this is a part of it. This is a part of life now, that we need to educate the younger individuals who are coming through on what's going out there, and that'll be better prepare them to maybe handle me when I get older and something happen.
No,
Alden, I would second that. Those thoughts. I would second those thoughts. I'm sorry, Laura. I just want to make sure I get this in here before the end. But I would also add that I would like to see our Congress and our state congressional bodies focus and understand that the lack of the prevention of the financial calamity that befalls families of almost any economic scale, because it can be so massively expensive, is critical to getting some standardized information to individuals, in the same way we educate everyone about, cancer and many other related diseases, education, that this should be education in the context of growing and changing and being educated through our lives to various levels of understanding. To say that children in school in the 8th grade, the 10th grade, 12th grade may not have the comprehension, that's false. They should be made aware that their very grandparents themselves may be suffering these conditions. And by using the Dementia Whisperers emotional, psychological, and clinical understanding and template, they can transform relationships, prevent a lot of heartache and heartbreak, misunderstanding, family dysfunction, when the very person who's the one who needs the support and care is often treated as a football of responsibility, or left again to the lone caregiver, as we've reflected on the news, how devastating that is. So I want to see the introduction of this information at an earlier age and out of just a professional context, because after all, this is about real people in their homes.
That's great perspective.
You know, my mission in life is to make the world dementia aware. Exactly what you're talking about, both of you. You have hit the nail on the head. We should be an army of educators so that we can start younger and younger to help people understand the need to understand dementia, the need to understand the level of training that is necessary. And so I am so happy we're closing the show, because we're almost out of time. I am so happy that we are closing that with both of your thoughts. I want to thank you, Alden, for being here today. This is just I am so pleased with the outcome of this show. And as always, I am so honored to be here with you, Scott. I want to give our closing thought today really quickly before we run out of time, because we've only got just about a minute left. So the closing thought today is, I understand why Alzheimer's caregivers can be so thoroughly disconnected day to day and just really so overwhelmed. We don't know how long, we don't know what is coming next, and we feel like we're walking up the down staircase each and every day. That's such a great description of what it's like to be a dementia caregiver. So, Alden, once again, thank you. I want to invite you to come back and be on our show again. This was such a pleasure. And Scott, of course, it is always a pleasure to talk with you. I am just going to say goodbye to our listeners. And Scott, if you'll just lead us out. And thank you, both of you, today for a wonderful show.
Yes, Alden, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, I appreciate the time.
It is Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman, on Blog Talk Radio. Stay tuned for more in the future. Check out our past broadcasts, as Laura mentioned. And this is your co-host, Scott Boothby, saying have a safe and sound weekend, everybody.
You've been listening to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, featuring Laura Wayman. Get your copy of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care and connect with Laura at laurawayman.com and join the Dementia Whisperer's newsletter. Send email questions, ideas, and comments to help@laurawayman.com and join Laura Wayman on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. This is Scott Cluthy, co-host and executive producer. Join us next time for Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman.